call this Wednesday, February 11, 2026, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Richard Vineyard, and I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Forrestal?
Here.
Worderick?
Here.
Crouch?
Here.
Green? Is absent. Lanane?
Here.
Vineyard?
Here.
And Williams?
Here.
All right, moving on to previous meeting minutes. May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from our January 14, 2026 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Are there any questions or amendments to the meetings?
Nope.
Right, can I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Worderick?
Yes.
Crouch?
Yes.
Lanane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
And Forrestal?
Yes.
Very good. Minutes are approved. Moving on to citizens' comments. Are there any citizen comments tonight from the public regarding a topic not on the agenda? Nope. Right, seeing that there are no comments from the public, we will move to the next item on the agenda. To our public hearings, there is one public hearing scheduled tonight for Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of these hearings is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding the proposed request that are being considered before this commission tonight. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak may be for or against the request or just to ask questions of the petitioner regarding items being heard. Once all of the public hearing on tonight's agenda are closed, the commissioners will deliberate on their vote and vote on their recommendations to the City Council for each of the matters that is subject of tonight's hearing. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name, who you represent. You're also asked to sign in at the podium. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. Anybody? I state your name.
I, Daryl Kleba.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
Is the truth.
Is the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
Nothing but.
Thank you. You may be seated. All right. So normally I would go into some rules to make sure everything is nice and orderly, but you look like a nice orderly lady. So do I have that correct?
Both days.
All right. Very good. Okay. So listen, at any time during this, the commissioners may ask you some questions. We'll try to keep it as short and sweet. So the order of receiving testimony will be the petitioner's presentation, followed by those who wish to speak in favor or opposition of the request. So may I have a motion to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2025-16. It's a variance request for the property located at 202 Wolf Street.
So moved.
Second.
Veer, do you want to introduce your company and or?
Oh, General Laboratory Products.
Can you go to the podium?
Okay.
And just give like a brief couple of sentences of what it is that you're requesting.
Okay, we're requesting a variance to put our refrigerator room in the front of the building.
Very good. All right. So we need to go back to the roll call. PZC 2025-16's variance request for the property located at 202 Wolf Street. Roll call vote on the motion.
Yes. Crouch?
Yes.
Lanane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Worderick?
Yes.
Okay. PZC 2025-16, Vera Pleva. Petitioner on behalf of GLP Real Estate LLC, property owner, is requesting a variance to Section 10-3-9 of the Unified Development Ordinance seeking to reduce the required minimum front yard setback within the M1 Limited Manufacturing District from 25 feet to 5 feet for a parcel located at 202 Wolf Street. Are you prepared to make a presentation? Or was that pretty much all you had to say?
Not much to say, but Frank Wilman's going to build the slab and the wall, insulation, and move the refrigerator room into it.
Very good. Thank you.
Sorry. No,
I'm still. Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw it across. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor or against? Seeing there's none. All right. Anyone in Zoom land tonight? Responses.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to have your responses to the standards entered into the public record?
Sure.
Very good. All right. We'll conclude this and move on. All right. Since all public testimony regarding this petition has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony and this public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Yes. Linnane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Worderick?
Yes.
And Crouch?
Yes.
You want to address? Did I go out of order? Okay. Seeing that there's no new items under unfinished business for discussion, we'll move on to new business. Staff, would you like to present your memo summary on PZC 2025-16, variance request for the property located at 202 Wolf Street?
Sure. As Vera mentioned, the company that owns the property is GLP Real Estate, LLC. They filed a petition, as she mentioned, to reduce the required minimum front yard setback from the 25-foot requirement in the M1 district to 5 feet for their parcel at 202 Wolf Street. The variance is being requested, as she mentioned, to allow construction of a walk-in cooler addition for the existing laboratory supply manufacturing business on the property. So a little bit history about the parcel itself and the company. The parcel is about a half acre, and it's very irregularly shaped. The operating business is called General Laboratory Products, and it's a 30-year-old manufacturing business. It occupies a two-story existing structure, about 10,000 square feet. And it's, according to Kendall County, it was constructed in the late 1990s. An addition put on in the late 1990s. They've been there since the 70s.
Wow.
The facility itself produces petri dishes, glass tubes, various bottles for industries, including food and beverage processing, sanitation, healthcare, education, pharmaceutical, et cetera, et cetera. So in reviewing their request for a variance, we looked at all the surrounding land uses. All the surrounding land uses are consistent. It's M1 because they are in the Fox Industrial District. The subject property needs the expansion because of the internal workspace for operations. It is constrained by the current parcel, the way that it is set up, especially to the east and to the south boundaries. So they plan to relocate the walk-in cooler from the interior of the building to allow them more floor space to the north side of the existing structure. The proposed addition will be approximately 288 square feet. It'll be prefabricated, sitting on new concrete foundation, as Vera mentioned, with the exterior facade matching the existing high-rib metal building. And it will also have some paneling that would bring in some masonry product.
Okay.
So although the petitioner is requesting relief from the minimum front yard setbacks, the property complies with all other bulk regulations in the district, so there are no other variances needed. And there's a chart in your packet that shows where they are complying and where they're asking for the variance or relief. The proposed use is consistent with its current future land use designation in the comprehensive plan, which identifies this parcel and the areas around it as GI, which is general industrial. Due to the layout, or the outdated layout, actually, of the parcels in the area, the comprehensive plan identified this area for potential expansion as well. The staff supports the request for variance. It is not going to impact negatively the neighboring properties, as the addition maintains all current access, does not obstruct any light or air for the adjacent uses, and does not increase congestion or public safety risk. The petitioner has provided, as she mentioned, responses to the variance requests, and I will read them into the record.
Very good.
I think I may be jumping ahead a little bit, but
one step.
I will read them into the record, and then if you have any questions you can follow.
Yep.
Okay. So the first standard for a variance is, please state how the particular surroundings, shape, or topographical conditions of the specific property involved, a particular hardship to the owner, would result as distinguished from a mere inconvenience if the strict letter of the regulations were carried out. The petitioner's response is, the cooler needs to be accessed from two-story steel building. East and west sides are accompanied with parking and loading dock. The second standard is, please state how the conditions... I'm sorry, did you want to address that?
Yeah, let's do it real quick.
Yeah.
All right, commissioners, I think they abide by it.
I totally agree. Yeah.
They're just a business trying to do business.
Yeah.
pretty simple.
Yeah. Everyone would agree?
Yeah.
The lot itself is irregular.
Yes, it's there's special considerations with it.
Yes.
Second standard, please state how the conditions upon which the application for a variation is based are unique to the property for which the variation is sought and not applicable generally to other property within the same zoning classification. And the petitioner's response was the lot has space taken up by detention retention pond area.
Okay. Commissioners, this is an oblong shaped. Mm-hmm. There's not much room for them to go.
I didn't see a retention pond. Did I miss something there?
So
there's a
it's a ditch kind of retention area. So it's not a wet basin, but it's a very small lot. It was subdivided
right.
for 1 acre.
Right.
Did you want to explain a little bit more about your response?
It's a sewer, I guess, to catch if there's
it's
rain.
Just for stormwater.
It's for stormwater.
Where's that at on the, I'm looking at
it's a
the picture on
we're
one,
zooming
page
in.
173.
South of the parking lot.
Yeah, right here.
You can zoom in a little bit more.
Oh, it's a catch basin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that on the property or not?
It's on the property.
But you're not building anywhere near that.
No.
Because you're building on
you're
the
going up front.
Building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the response was they didn't have space to go south.
Sure.
To build because they would be in that drainage way. So
yeah.
the only available space
north.
Would be north.
It's to
the
north.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with their conundrum here is that would open a whole new can of worms. We agree.
And that is unique to that parcel.
Absolutely.
Third standard, please state how the alleged difficulty or hardship is caused by this title and has not been created by any person presently having an interest in the property. And the response from the petitioner is new regulations for manufacturing virus test media makes the addition necessary. So it was not created by them, but
correct.
By a standard.
Sure.
Media.
And it's also so the parcel was cut.
The rules of the game changed mid-game is basically what we're getting at right here. I don't see any issue with it.
No.
Does anyone else?
We're fine.
No. We're fine.
Not creating.
Thank you.
I don't have any issue.
Oh. I got what you meant.
All right. Next standard. Please state how the granting of the variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to other property or improvements in the neighborhood in which the property is located. Petitioner's response, addition does not interfere with public utilities or sight line for traffic and is farther back than the entrance fence to west neighbor. Variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to the other property or improvements in the neighborhood in which the property is located.
Commissioners, you have anything? I agree with it.
Question about that. I'm not real familiar with the area over there, but are there sidewalks? Because that would...
I don't believe there are. I was looking at the aerial earlier.
No, it does not appear to have any sidewalks, so it's just...
Are there any other sidewalks in the neighborhood?
Only in front of the fire department.
Mm-hmm. No, because that's really just all manufacturing. So.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear.
Okay.
And yeah, if you look at the aerial too, like where they're putting the footprint for that addition, it's outside of any utilities too. You can see where the utility poles are at for 202.
Commissioners, are we in agreement?
Yes.
In agreement. Thank you.
Last standard. Please state how the proposed variation will not impair an adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property or substantially increase the congestion in the public streets or increase the danger to the public safety or substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. Petitioner's response, proposed variation will not be impairing adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property or substantially increase the congestion in the public streets or increase the danger of public safety or diminish or impair values within the neighborhood. Proposed addition will include stone wainscot across entire north side of building.
Commissioners, do you have anything?
Agree. If anything, I'll raise probably.
Yeah, I agree. They're meeting every other standard.
Yes.
We all in agreement?
Yes.
We're all in agreement. Do any of the Planning and Zoning Commission members have any other questions for the staff?
No.
All right, beautiful. All right.
We went through.
That's okay. May have a motion to approve PZC 2025-16 variance request for the property located at 202 Wolf Street.
So moved.
Second.
Could you read that for me?
In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on February 11, 2026, and approval of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council for a request for bulk regulation variance on Section 10-3-9, bulk and dimensional standards of the Unified Development Ordinance, reducing the required minimum front yard setback in the M1 Limited Manufacturing District from 25 feet to 5 feet.
Very good. May I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Linnane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yep.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Worderick?
Yes.
And Crouch?
Yes.
All right, the motion is approved. Is there any additional business the city would like to update us on?
Yes, there is. So we have a year interview 2025. This is a light agenda. We decided to be thought we put this on here. Sarah, if you want to just definitely take a pull off the story map, and me and Tina will just go through it briefly.
Okay.
It should take a few minutes, but just... So each year we do the year in review. This is probably the fifth or sixth year doing it in a story map format. I think it goes back to 2020. All that's actually on our website as well, if you're curious. But this is the City of Yorkville's 2025 year in review for the Community Development Department. As you guys are aware, the department is responsible for processing building permits, monitoring community growth, reviewing development proposals, verifying code compliance, and guiding long-term planning efforts. This review is just some key milestones in 2025, and then what's ahead in 2026. I'll kick it off to Tian. She'll start off with the building permit activity, and then I'll follow up with that with some planning and zoning, economic development, and what we're doing with the department.
So over the past decade, Brookville has experienced steady growth, which resulted in more than 2,700 new building permits, and as for the calendar year 2025, there were 276 new stars, and 120 of them were single-family detached homes, and the rest of them, all 156, were single-family detached homes. And this represents a modest increase from the 255 new construction permits issued in 2024. So now let's do a breakdown of the housing by subdivision. So the Grand Reserve subdivision saw the most housing growth in 2025, with 185 permits issued, which makes up approximately 67% of all new residential construction in Brookville. And coming in at second place is the town of Kendall Marketplace, where there were 38 permits issued, which makes up approximately 14% of the new residential construction. And at third place is Whispering Meadows. There were 25 permits issued here, which makes up about 9%, and coming in at number 4 is Timber Ridge Estates, where there were a total of 18 permits issued, which represented 6% of the new residential construction. There were also 6 other subdivisions that had new housing starts, and there were a total of 10 housing starts in those 6 subdivisions. Moving on to permit activity. In 2025, there were a total of 1,400 permits issued, which marks an approximate 4% decrease from 2024. And although the overall permits decreased in 2025, the total remains consistent with the trends in the previous years. And as you can see down below, fence permits were the most commonly issued in 2025, followed by padding permits. There were also other types of permit issued that were not shown on the graph, which include 53 commercial sign permits and 31 basement remodel permits. And the total construction value for these permits came up to about $166 million, which is $17 million higher than calendar year 2024. And this is consistent with previous trends, where annual construction value has exceeded $100 million each year since 2023. Moving into permit fee revenue, in 2025, the permit fee revenue totaled approximately $2.9 million, which is a modest decline from $3.2 in 2024. In addition to that, the city approved an amendment to establish a new fee category for data center developments, and this is to help offset impacts of data center development related to inspections, staff time, and permitting review. And in 2026, the city anticipates further amendments to the data center fee to better align with the actual cost of the data center development and ongoing staffing needs. Now I'll hand over to David.
Perfect, thanks, Tia. So yeah, just to build on that last point that Tina mentioned, last night we actually approved the building permits amendment for data center development. So it's already been updated as of last night, so I'll go along there. The next part would be about planning and zoning requests. In 2025, there is 16 requests for planning petitions. That's actually down from 34 in 2024. However, even though there was a little bit of lost amount, there were some pretty big projects. We had Tasco Wholesale. They came in and got approved by City Council in January 2025. And in November, they opened to the public. Two other big petitions this past year were the data center petitions for Project Cardinal and Project Steel. They're both large-scale data center campus petitions, annexation, rezoning, PUDs, just about everything included in those. Both of those projects completed planning and zoning commission review in 2025 and remain under city council consideration. So you guys are aware of both of the developments. I'll just skip over the magnitude and scale of each of them since we've talked about this quite a bit. Regarding residential petitions, we had two final plat subdivisions, one of them for Heartland Meadows West, which includes 20 single-family residential lots and four commercial outlots. That's just north of Home Depot. The other one would be Fox Haven, where it used to be previously Perfection Park. That one is turning into a townhome units, 105 townhome units, along with an acre commercial parcel that's adjacent to 47. Another petition that's notable is we have the South Michigan Station site at the end of the year. That was a rezoning, and that's part of the Lake Michigan project for the city of Yorkville. So, as you guys are probably well aware, that's a 30-mile pipeline extension project for Lake Michigan Water, and it's expected to, the city's expected to receive Lake Michigan Water sometime in 2028. The other two things for the petitions were unified development ordinance amendments. One of them was about allowing final coated chain link fencing in residential districts. And the second one was establishing development regulations for data center facilities. As you guys were aware, we went through and did a text amendment that included a range of development topics from buffering, building heights, building separation, noise studies, phasing plans, and just about everything. Also, when we looked into that, Sarah was the main person on that. She looked through communities from Arizona, Virginia, and just about anywhere in the country just to try to figure out where are the best data center standards are and how can we apply that here. Lastly, for this section, there's a map tour of all these requests along with all the other ones for the year. On this map up here, so if you're curious, feel free to click through it. It just provides a little insight into each of them throughout the year. It includes maps and a little bit of a summary. Just a few other things. We have population projections we mentioned in here. The 2016 comprehensive plan mentions that there's they expected about 100 new Boeing unit permits per year. Over the last 5 years, we've been well over 300. So with that being the case, in 2020, we had the U.S. Census, but since it's been such a rapidly growing with the dwelling units and residential in general, the city is looking to do a special census prior to the 2031, hopefully occurring in the next year or two. To see where we're at residence-wise. In 2020, the U.S. Census had City of Yorkville at 21,500 residents approximately. Our city, our estimates internally show it closer to 26,000. For boundary agreements, we thought we'd mention that as well because beginning this year, we'll be working with the City of the Village of Oswego about renewing, modifying, and extending this agreement for an additional 20 years. And then in 2027, we will be doing the same with Village Montgomery since that 20-year period is going to expire. And one last thing for this section is your comprehensive plan. The city's 2016 comprehensive plan is approaching its end of its lifespan, and it's anticipated to be updated probably sometime in 2027, we're looking. So you guys will see that in the near future as well. The next section is about economic development. There's approximately 52 new businesses and about 8 relocations or expansions throughout the city. This section also includes various links to the city's current projects page, Yorkville Chamber of Commerce, as well as the city's economic development page that I know Lynn and Caitlin both put a lot of effort into, so we thought we'd highlight that as well. We've also been working with them for the Economic Development Activity Viewer, just a summary. It's a GIS dashboard that just shows all the different businesses in 2025 that came to Yorkville, and we also filled that in with some 2024 data that they had as well. So that's one of our newer GIS applications. Another one is tied to directly to restaurant viewers. And that's another one as well. There's 78 restaurants as well we have in our list right now for here. This one's updated pretty often as well, so it should be mostly accurate. So if you guys want to click around there and just let us know if we can improve it all, we'd appreciate it. And then the rest of this section is mostly just tied to highlighting some of the other businesses throughout this 2025 year. So we just highlighted a few of the logos that we could find online, and that's the next few parts here. Let's see if we'll scroll through. The last portion here that I will speak on will be digitizing the department. So these are some goals we have internally for the Community Development Department. We're focusing on user experience for everyone, residents, staff, business owners. We're trying to aim at streamlining internal workflows. So pretty much try to make everything digital that we can. That also helps with searchability as well as being more transparent as well. So I'll just highlight a few things here. We have the GIS mapping updates, as I mentioned. We also have a lot of other cool little GIS dashboards, viewers as well. We redid the GIS website, so it's a little more organized, and there's a few more features in there as well. As thank you, Sarah. This is just a variety of different things that we have there. Two other things that the department is working on is document management upgrade. So we're working with LaserFiche to hopefully process and convert most of our scanned permit files so they're digital and they're easy to search as well. So that will definitely help on making permit information easier to access, as well as just being more transparent, as I mentioned, and improving the user interface. The city anticipates this conversion hopefully coming to a head at sometime this year. So if everything goes well, we'll have everything digital on that aspect. And then to piggyback off that, in October of 2025, the city council approved a new permitting software for the city, which is called Clarity, or Clarity Launch. It's cloud-based, and it's going to be helpful for community development. This is going to help streamline building plan reviews, permitting of workflows, inspection scheduling, property maintenance complaint tracking, as well as development application processing. So it's going to touch all parts of community development, and it's really going to make it easier on the city, both staff level as well as residents, if you have a question, or we can hopefully answer it a lot quicker than trying to go through our files right now, which is a little behind, but we're catching up. If everything goes well, this should be in full operation sometime in quarter one of 2027. Lastly, I just want to speak to some intergovernmental agreements that we have with Kendall County. We work with them in multiple facets, both with a building inspection agreements, as well as GIS. We work with them directly as well there. So a lot of the maps that you see now is we coordinate directly with them, and they create a lot of them. We tell them what we want, and they do a great job. So we've been doing that for a few years as well, so we always are thankful to have them in our back pocket. That's all I got. I'll give it back to Tia, and she'll just provide some overview of some additions to the team and what 2026 might hold.
So there are some new additions. The community development department, the property maintenance inspector, Erin Rosa, who's formerly with the city of Naperville, but has now joined the United City of Yorkville in April 2025. And then we also welcome Jimmy Connor, who's me.
common spelling?
And I started with Cindy in early January 2026. So now, looking ahead to 2026, Yorkville anticipates several exciting developments, which includes the first groundbreaking of the Cyrus Lone Data Center, and a lot of new businesses, dining establishments, and research projects throughout the city. And this year in review reflects Yorkville's dedication to responsible growth, economic development, and community well-being. And we hope that you stay tuned for the progress. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice.
All right. Anything else?
Sarah, a couple of updates for us.
Very good.
Yeah, there's two updates. The first one is to the Meyer property. So at the request of the petitioner, they have decided to postpone their city council meeting date for a later date that has not yet been determined. We'll let you know when we have an update on that. And then we also have the school district, which their annexation and rezonings passed last night at city council.
Oh, okay.
And I have one other update. Cyrus One came in last night to city council agenda to request a minor modification to their planned unit development. It entailed a reduction in size and scale of their substation. So the substation originally was 800,000 square feet. They have repositioned it to be 400,000 square feet.
Okay.
And they are losing a building because where they are positioning the substation is over an existing building. So the building square footage originally was 2.4 million, has now been reduced to 2.1 million.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Anything else?
No.
Go ahead. All right. Seeing as there's nothing further on tonight's agenda, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
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 Meeting adjourned at 7:31:58.